This is ACC CardiaCast, a series on the latest clinical education brought to you by the American College of Cardiology.
Hi, this is Dr. Michael Blaha, Director of Clinical Research for the Johns Hopkins Ciccheroni Center for the Prevention of Heart Disease.
And I'm Mikhail Kosiboret. I'm a cardiologist and professor of medicine at St. Luke's Mid-America Heart Institute in Kansas City.
And our topic today is the emerging data and field of SGLT2 inhibitors, one of the new innovative and potentially very beneficial new classes of diabetes drugs that we think about in cardiovascular disease. So I want to jump in right in with a discussion of the trials. Let's start with EMPA-REG, which is empagliflozin, which is one of the exciting new drugs in this class, the first to report cardiovascular outcome data.
Yeah, so empagliflozin was the first cardiovascular outcome trial for SGLT2 inhibitors, for specific agent empagliflozin, and it was designed according to the FDA guidance, which was actually to show that the compound is safe from cardiovascular standpoint.
Safety.
It was performed in a large number of patients, over 7,000 patients with type 2 diabetes, nearly all of whom had established cardiovascular disease.
High-risk patients,
and majority actually had atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease. And as the results were really quite remarkable. For the primary endpoint, which was major adverse cardiac events, the usual primary endpoint mandated by the FDA guidance, there was actually not just a non-inferiority, but in fact superiority of empagliflozin over the placebo with about a 14% relative risk reduction that was statistically significant for superiority, indicating a benefit of empagliflozin over placebo. And after many years of really not having other glucose-lowering agents producing that kind of data with cardiovascular benefits, that was exciting enough, but that was actually the least exciting part of the whole trial, The most exciting part is that the benefit for major adverse cardiac events was driven by a substantial reduction in cardiovascular death, a 38% reduction in cardiovascular death as compared with placebo, and a 35% relative risk reduction in hospitalization for heart failure, which are things that we weren't used to. We never saw before.
Oh, it's incredible. These are expensive outcomes, right? And this should take anyone, by surprise to see this magnitude of effect with a therapy that's so accessible, right?
Yeah, so I was actually, as a personal anecdote, I was in Stockholm at the European Association for Study of Diabetes meeting when the trial got presented, and the investigators got a standing ovation from an audience of several thousand people.
Yeah.
So it was quite an event, and I think really a watermark event in terms of what happened since then and our understanding of how diabetes, type 2 diabetes should be managed, certainly in people with established cardiovascular complications. The other interesting part of the trial, which is a story to be continued, is not only were the cardiovascular outcomes better, but actually there was a quite significant improvement in renal outcomes as well.
Important.
And it's not for your kind of typical softer, so to speak, endpoints with albuminuria progression, but things like doubling of creatinine or progression to end-stage renal disease, renal death or initiation of renal replacement therapy. These were, of course, rare events because most patients in the trial did not have advanced chronic kidney disease. But despite that, and despite the fact that most people were treated with ACE inhibitors, ARBs, you saw a really remarkable, more than 40% reduction of those important endpoints. So again, really a revolutionary trial, landmark trial, that I think changed everybody's thinking about type 2 diabetes as a disease entity and how we should manage it.
Yeah, that's right. When I talk to my colleagues, I tell anyone who's not paying attention to this field, you have to pay attention to this field because these are outcomes that are harder, more important outcomes with more substantial risk reduction than some of the other classes that maybe they might be thinking about. For example, my cholesterol treatment colleagues or other colleagues, these are remarkable benefits, right? What do we see in terms of safety signals in EMPA-REG?
Right, so in EMPA-REG outcome trial, the safety looked actually quite favorable.
Right.
One clear signal that did emerge, which was already known for that class from earlier smaller studies, was the risk of genital candidiasis.
Because the mechanism of action,
glucosuria. So because of glucosuria, so genital fungal infections, typically candidiasis, and it's more common in women than men, that risk was clearly there. These typically tend to be relatively mild infections, few serious infections, and can usually be treated with topical or systemic antifungals. Yeah. But that's a very clear risk. There is a significant increase in that risk with SGLT2 inhibitors as a class, right, as compared with placebo. There was a concern earlier about urinary tract infections. That was not seen in empagliflozin, right, trial. The UTIs, both any urinary tract infections and serious urinary tract infections, were quite similar between empagliflozin and placebo. The other, of course, risk that has been brought up as a possibility is euglycemic, what's called euglycemic DKA, or diabetic ketoacidosis. SGLT2 inhibitors as a class do increase the production of ketone bodies.
Right.
There were very few events of DKA in EMPA-REG, indicating that in general that risk is relatively low in people with type 2 diabetes, unlike in patients with type 1 diabetes. But we've now, you know, EMPA-REG was of course just the beginning of the story. We now have a lot more information and more coming for SGLT2 inhibitors as a class.
Right. Yeah, and Serge, to mention before we move on, I think it's remarkable, right, that the FDA then granted a label for empagliflozin for cardiovascular risk reduction, right?
Yeah,
this is really important.
It's quite a historical event, actually. So December of last year, first glucose-lowering medication developed initially for glucose-lowering, right, that received an indication from the Food and Drug Administration for reduction in cardiovascular death.
Yeah.
And if you actually look at that language in the indication, there is no mention of hemoglobin A1c. It,
right,
says in patients with diabetes and established cardiovascular, right, disease. And I think that's very important because there was no indication that the benefits seen with empagliflozin,
right,
were in any way contingent,
right,
or modified by either baseline, right, A1C or change in A1C,
right,
during the trial.
And I liked how you corrected yourself there. You said a drug initially made for glucose lowering, but of course now we're understanding this to be so
well,
much better.
Well, and actually, if you look at where SGLT2 inhibitors, in large part because of EMPA-REG outcome, are going now, is that there are ongoing trials looking at these medications as potential therapies for heart failure and chronic kidney disease, regardless of diabetes,
yes,
status. So we're now departing from diabetes and really entering,
right,
into new
we
fields.
We might enter into completely new fields.
Obviously, we need to wait and see what the trials show, but that's,
right,
where the field is
but
going.
Incredibly important. Let's talk about CANVAS real quick, canagliflozin. There's some differences, but some similarities. In fact, a lot of similarities to what we saw with EMPA-REG. Tell me about CANVAS and your take.
Yeah, so, obviously, a relatively complex trial, actually, a programs that had two trials in it, CANVAS and CANVAS-R, canagliflozin versus placebo. The primary outcome, once again, is major adverse cardiac events, as for most cardiovascular,
right,
safety trials. Identical effect on major adverse cardiac events as with empagliflozin and EMPA-REG, a 14% relative risk reduction,
right,
both non-inferior and statistically significant effect with superiority of canagliflozin over placebo. Again, actually exact same point estimate as with empagliflozin,
right,
and EMPA-REG. So that's clearly similarity. Very similar effects on hospitalization for heart failure, which was a secondary endpoint. Very similar effects on renal endpoints. What the difference was on the cardiovascular event side was really for cardiovascular death and all-cause death.
Right.
The effects numerically were favorable to canagliflozin over placebo, but did not reach statistical,
right,
significance, and the magnitude certainly was not was not the same as what you saw with empagliflozin and EMPA-REG. So, not identical by any means. Clear, very important differences for some outcomes, particularly CV on all-cause mortality, but also a lot of similarities,
yeah,
for other endpoints.
Yeah, that takes us into the study that you did, which I think is just unbelievable. It's so important because I value real-world data so much. Clinical trials can tell you so much, but then you really need to know what it's doing in the real world. So let's talk about CVD-REAL, which was a study you did looking at real-world effects of SGLT2 inhibitors. And the bottom line, of course, is we saw a benefit. But walk me through some of the details.
Right, so of course, this is not a clinical trial. It's a very large international real-world study looking at well-established registries in the United States, the three countries in Scandinavia, Sweden, Denmark, and Norway, United Kingdom, and Germany, and trying to match patients being initiated on SGLT2 inhibitors as a class, so any compound within a class,
right,
versus patients being treated with other glucose-lowering agents, and trying to match them so that they look like one another in every way that we can measure, except which drugs they,
right,
received.
Right.
So really trying to compare apples to apples. And what we found was that initiation of SGLT2 inhibitors was associated with a significant reduction in the risk of hospitalization for heart failure, which is the outcome we concentrate
on. Consistent now.
Highly consistent with what the clinical trials showed, actually, both for canagliflozin and empagliflozin. And we also saw an association between initiation of SGLT2 inhibitors and a lower risk of all-cause mortality in the composite of those two outcomes.
It's unbelievable.
It's the important part of CVD Real is that remember that in EMPA-REG and CANVAS, either all patients or majority of patients had established cardiovascular
right.
disease. Here we're looking at a population of patients with type 2 diabetes, majority of whom, 87%, did not have cardiovascular disease, so much lower risk population, but very similar findings to what we saw.
Yeah, but it certainly suggests, as you said before, that we're going to be using these drugs in the future in some way in a much wider patient population rather than just those, just the highest risk patients, and maybe potentially other uses in other patients for other outcomes beyond just, of course, glucose lowering, way well beyond that.
Yeah, and I would say there is more data coming, very important data. We actually have the largest trial of SGLT2 inhibitors DECLARE with dapagliflozin, over 17,000 patients, of whom 10,000 don't have established cardiovascular disease.
Yeah, that's important.
That's coming in the near future, and we are eagerly awaiting those results. And then ertugliflozin and the Virtus trial, which is much more similar to the EMPA-REG in terms of patient population, most patients with established cardiovascular disease. So we'll have more and more data, and I think that picture continues to evolve. But what's very, very clear is that you're talking about a class of compounds that have real potential for reducing cardiovascular and potential renal complications in people with diabetes.
Yeah, so important. I think this is a great discussion. It really points to kind of this class that's emerged as just a great option for lowering cardiovascular risk. Now, you can find more about these drugs and other issues related to diabetes and cardiovascular disease on acc.org. So go there if you want to learn more.
This has been the ACC CardioCast, your latest education from the American College of Cardiology. Go to acc.org to find this and other additional resources related to today's show.